Bringing this back around to PAX, there's a lot of stuff that
what?
Yeah, that thing. I mean, it just yeah, there wasn't much Halo to begin with, but I think this was the first time both you got to play Warzone, correct?
No.
Yeah, I sucked at it.
I got a lot of hands-on time at X15 That's about right. a week prior.
Yeah. So, what was your guys' first opinions of Warzone?
I'm going to be playing a lot of it. It's fun. I mean, I don't know what to take from it because I know they've accelerated requisitions and their cards are all of the same currently. So balance can be entirely different in the actual game. But what I've played now, I have enjoyed. It's just so teamwork based and large scale that it feels like everything Halo should be to me. And I love every second of it.
I love the fact that the team who is winning at any given point in the game can change in an instant.
Oh, yeah. So quick.
With the AI bosses and one of them being 250 points, which is a quarter of the victory points that you need to win, you could be losing from a skill perspective, just having one team completely hammer you. But if you go after the objectives, you could still win. And I think that really brings out a fun aspect for Halo that you can get a lot of casual players in there, not necessarily competitive. Because traditionally, the big team battle or big team slayer playlists have been the ones where you bring in guests and bring in friends or family that maybe aren't quite the ones that play Halo as much as we do and don't have a problem. But it's something where they come in just to have fun. And I think Warzone is just a lot better way to really bring that around for a lot more people to just have fun in Halo and not necessarily go for something that's big and competitive.
Yep. And actually, when you're talking about that, I don't want to bring up the split screen debate, but it would have been a great split screen game type.
Yeah.
That said, I'm not hurt that it's gone.
Yeah, it's funny. I was talking with some people at the office today about the possibility of playing games across some of the TVs we have on our walls. And that was one of my biggest, I got, some people are Halo fans in the office, some people not so much. And I definitely got roasted a little bit for the no split screen. Cause I was like, man, I wish we could play Halo 5 multiplayer, but no split screen. We'd need a lot of Xboxes. It's too bad. It is too bad. But the thing is that as much as I do, I have enjoyed split screen gaming in the past. I don't do it enough to make it a personal issue for me. And, it's one of those things that like, it kind of sucks that they did it, but like at this point it's like complaining about it or getting upset about it other than just to say like, oh, I wish that I had split screen, but like, there's no way they can like, I remember when the petitions were coming out and stuff like that, like put split screen in the game. And I was like, man, there's no way they are going to get, you don't know anything about software development, let alone game development. If you think they can just slap split screen in before this game gets released, they've got to hit a deadline. Like if something has to come out at a certain point. So, but I mean, it would be great if they could patch it in, because I know that people have said, and I think that most people would agree that while having a beautiful, amazing, super high graphic 60 FPS experience is important to them, especially in a campaign or in like a match where they're playing solo on their own TV, when you are playing split screen, at least for me, like you said, Dustin, it's a lot of the time it isn't for competitiveness or because I want the best experience in the game. It's because I'm having a real life social experience one way or the other. And it's like, oh, let's put on some Halo. That's fun. We can all play that. Right. And so having like amazing, amazing graphics isn't my number one priority there. My number one priority literally is playing with my friends. So in that regard, it does suck. But I mean, because I'm such a loser, I don't have that many friends. So I just play it online, and it's not personally, it's not that big of a deal to me.
Gotcha. And for the most part, it is one of those things that I think it could really be done from a development standpoint. I think
as a patch.
From what I hear, how the game is being architected, it's not going to be something that's easily patched.
Oh yeah, like, because I know that that's what they were discussing, just patching it in as a content update post launch.
So I haven't really talked to anyone in the studio that has like detailed knowledge about how the engine works. I did get a chance to talk to Tim Longo at PAX about the engine, and he really didn't know the intricate details behind the decision of split screen and the whole 60 frames per second requirement. But if you take a look at PC gaming, you have a lot of different client games running at different frame rates. So take TF2, for example. That's probably TF2 and Counter-Strike. They're both run off of the Half-Life engine.
Source engine.
Source.
And it's server-based, which Halo is now server-based, being on dedicated servers, but it's not tied to a frame rate. So I feel that it's something that if they are coding the game in such a way where it has to be 60 frames per second, which Josh has said publicly that I think he had a tweet about it where it's like 60, like the game is done in such a way where they're trying to make it to where it's 60 frames per second. In order to do that, they can't do the split screen in order to maintain the 60 frame rate stuff. But I don't think it really needs to be something where you have to maintain that frame rate. I think people would understand that if you're doing split screen, they don't mind frame rate dropping, and frame rate dropping, if the game is coded right, shouldn't be something that is reliant on game updates. I mean, that should all really be tracked server side.
Well, I mean,
and that's just
definitely like how, yeah, that's, I mean, that's how your console is rendering the game, right? I don't know how much it has to do with the servers specifically, because the servers are just holding all the information for the game, right? They're not actually rendering out the graphics. I mean, I know that they that they use the CPUs to do a certain amount of data calculation, right? So like they're definitely using that to calculate physics and things like that.
Yeah, there's stuff that's done on the client in order to calculate stuff like local damage, proximity indicators, and all that stuff. But I mean, really, playing on dedicated servers, a lot of the stuff that's important as far as like absolute,
it should
like,
free up resources on the console, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, leave it to the clients to interpret and like do all the like receive all the data and interpret it in order to calculate damage and location and stuff. But it sounds like they're cutting it too much to where the client is relied on for doing some core calculations that I think the server should be accountable for instead of the client. And that's why split screen is not supported, because they do have to maintain that 60 frame rate per second, because the client is actually doing some calculations that affects everybody else.
Right. Okay. So that, yeah,
it's that's the way I understand it. Frames. Yeah.
Interesting. And it sounds like I hadn't heard that.
There's ticks between the server and the client that don't align if the game's not running at 60 frames. And I mean,
I don't want that, but I mean, I guess my answer to that would probably be like, you know, if you cut it, you could calculate for that, because if the problem is you can't get the game at a constant 60 FPS, okay, when you play split screen, it's only at 30 FPS. And then if you know that, like, no, you know, like if it's going to be 60 and then the issue is that like, oh, you turn on split screen and it's dropping to 55 or 50 or 40 or whatever it is, and that's causing it to get out of sync with the server, like you're saying, then at least I would hope that, and if they could do this in a software patch or whatever, that, yeah, like why not just set the frame limit on the game to 30 frames per second? Then you know that like at least it's a constant 30 if they can get that. When it's communicating with the server, you can compensate for that in the communication by, you know, basically telling it that, you know, it's, this game is, you know, like you're connected, we're doing split screen here, you know, pass that variable over to the server. So instead of being 60 FPS, it's 30. So take double the time for everything. You know what I mean?
Right. And as far as being able to update frame rate, you can still do the calculations at 60 ticks per second on the CPU. And then send the updates to the server, and then just let the GPU update as quickly as possible. I mean, that's how computer games or PC-based games do it now, is that they render as many frames as they can, but that doesn't affect the overall calculation of what's going on in the game. So PC games will actually drop frames in order to make sure that appropriate calculations are done and sent back to the server in a timely manner before updating a frame in the graphics. So I just I mean, it's my limited understanding of how the Halo 5 engine currently is. I could be completely wrong, which wouldn't be too far-fetched. But if that's the case of how they're doing it, I don't know if it's something that could easily be patched out. I mean, that would be a pretty big engine update for both the server and the client.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true. It's definitely an interesting scenario, and I also view it as like sort of a sign of the times, in that like most people aren't doing split screen as much, which is probably why they, because I feel like another thing is like it must have been a very tough call to make, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know at what point in the development they had to say like, no, we're going to have to drop split screen support. But just as like the community has been outraged and there's been so much debate going on, I'm sure that the exact same debates were held inside of 343 trying to figure this out. And I would imagine that, especially if it becomes a big thing, you know what I mean? So like, Just like any other game, obviously there's going to be like a list of community wants or needs or demands. And if it petitions. Does become like a big enough thing, yeah, like maybe there will be a petition or something like that, because I would be really interested. And this is something that I guess is unfortunate. And it's there's a couple of things, right? Like, first of all, they probably don't want to, you know, be accused of lying or being incorrect or anything like that, or just media relations sort of stuff, and also just proprietary code and information. But I would really love to hear, like, obviously we've heard that it's a performance issue and everything like that, but like you said, Dustin, I would love for them to say like, no, it's actually like, you know, like a tick problem with the server and it can't keep up. We don't want it to drop frames. We can't limit the frame rate in order to make sure that it stays in sync or whatever. Like an actual, you know, like obviously you can do a TLDR, for the general community. TLDR, split screen still isn't working, guys. Sorry. Click here for our developer blog to have the engineer who is in charge of this project explain to you exactly how him and his team just like couldn't figure this out.
That
you
would know what be, I mean? Like, I would love to see that personally.
That kind of transparency is something that like I think game companies need to go, because first of all, it's unfortunate, but like a lot of backseat development goes on by people that like sort of think they know what they're talking about. And I kind of just like every now and again, when I see that, I'm like, man, if you're so smart, why aren't you working at 343? Like if you've got all of the answers, why are you like, you know, an accountant in Kansas leaving a comment on a YouTube video? Why aren't you a game developer working in the industry? You know what I mean? And like, obviously it's a random comment or whatever. It could very well be a game developer or someone with kind of knowledge, but you know what I mean? Like that kind of transparency, I think, could really help out, because I mean, we know that 343, regardless of if you think they've been doing good or doing bad, the talent at the company is top of the industry. And so they've got to have some engineers, or at the very least, you know, and that's about having a PR person or a media relations person or whatever that can sit down with the project managers or the engineers and say, okay, we want to tell the community, you know, we've got a community of nerds and geeks because we're a game company. We want to tell the community why this doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? And even if the engineer can only like spit out technical jargon or whatever, there has to be enough smart people, especially like at Microsoft, that would be able to translate that correctly into like an accurate communication that they could share with the community. You know what I mean?
The big thing is whether or not they actually could share it.
Well, that's what I meant by like proprietary code and everything. But I feel like if they were broad enough, I don't know. But like that's the thing too, is that Microsoft and all their patents, they're so... They're very, very controlling about that stuff.
Well, you touched on the point that I think Halo's kind of lost touch with, because I feel Bungie had a lot more transparency.
Yeah.
And maybe that was just because we didn't have as many problems with it. I'd have to go back and actually like compare apples to apples how many blogs or vlogs that they put out, or Vidocs, because they actually put out a lot of Vidocs that went into some detail.
They really did.
And we actually haven't really seen that from 343. We saw one come out regarding Halo 5, but that's it.
Yeah, they haven't shown as much. I feel like, I mean, let's be honest here. I'm not, I mean, I feel like 343 is a little bit once bitten, twice shy. Like, I mean, no one's denying that they screwed up Halo 4, but at the same time, I feel like they know they're kind of on the cliff edge. You know what I mean? And so I feel like, because half the time, right? Like, okay, We had a great Halo 5 beta. Everyone had a lot of fun. And let's put out some stats about how much fun we had in the beta. Look at all these people that played it. What does the community do? They take that communication, turn it on its head, and throw it in 343's face, saying that this beta wasn't as good as the last beta for Halo 3 or whatever it was. There was a big, you know, dust up over that, right? And so there's only so many times that 343 can be transparent and say like, hey, we did this. And then the community takes it and says, you know, screw you, punches them in the face with it before they're just going to be like, oh, let's not even do it. You know what I mean? Like it's going to result in negative publicity. We don't even want that. You know what I mean?
At the same time though, and that's one of the things about the Halo community that I'm really disappointed in, because our community does go out and do that. You look at the Destiny community, for example. Destiny has, I mean, a lot of people know my opinions on Destiny, but look at the Destiny community and how much support Bungie has given Dames of Destiny, Guardian Radio, DBO. Oh, yeah. They get a lot of support, and there is so much interaction between the studio, their community team, and the actual community. And
they do they keep trying, for sure. Yeah. Like even with all the problems that or the bad PR. I hear what you're saying. I totally agree.
Even we got a Bungie spotlight before Destiny came out.
It's true.
And you just look at the interactions, and just I feel that's completely missing from Halo now. Ever since 343 like took over, and kind of since like Halo C anniversary, and then definitely after Halo 4, that openness with the community, that interaction with the community, and the community support has just plummeted.
Yeah, it's a little rough. And like I said, I feel like it's partially because, I mean, the community has been, and not that, and the thing is, like, I don't, you know, when I say this, obviously I don't want to undercut the fact that 343, they made significant mistakes, obviously, right? But with MCC's launch, and there was, you know, like with the direction of Halo 4 in general, obviously it just wasn't as popular with the community and everything like that. And, but yeah, I mean, The issue is, I tweeted about this recently, but like the response is not proportionate to the mistake. Like when you go out and see a bad movie, you're like, man, that movie sucked. You know what I mean? But when you see a bad game, or when you play a bad game, or a game doesn't work for you or something like that, you go on the internet and tell people to kill themselves. And like, that's a disproportionate response to what's happening, right? And like, I get the games are a little bit more expensive, you know, like going out to the movies might only be $20 or $30, whereas a game's like $60 or whatever. But at the same time, I mean, there's no situation where the response should be that vitriolic. And absolutely, I mean, the Halo community, we've always been, to a certain extent, just, you know, it's funny because everyone skirts around it by saying we've been passionate, but we're just like most video game communities, just, you know, we're just very angry when things don't go our way. You know what I mean? And people get really upset. And that's what I find, is that obviously, like, being upset is fine, but a proportionate response is the key. You know what I mean? Like, Hitler was evil, but like no game company out there working today, Bungie, Activision, I don't care what game company, the game company that you hate the most, none of them are actually evil. None of them are, you know, committing atrocities.
Well,
like as much as Activision, maybe MCC was an atrocity.
Well, maybe Activision too, with the recent court ruling that came out. But anyways.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, like evil is still relative, right? Like even the most evil business person does not deserve to receive death threats based on his business practices. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just, I wish the Halo community would actually just like man up.
Well, I mean, one of the biggest things is just that, and the internet just has to learn that if you don't like something, you don't always have to announce that you don't like something. You know what I mean? Like, wait, if you didn't like that video, you can, instead of, you know, like getting in the comments and screaming about how whatever is the worst thing ever, you can just be like, man, that video sucked, and close the tab. It's that easy. Well, you know what I mean? And then like,
I personally think it's fine to say video sucked, but you shouldn't basically go on like,
the video sucked, you need to die.
Right. I mean, yeah. There's a certain amount
proportionate
of
response.
I mean, you're responding to human beings, for crying out loud. Yeah. Like, at least
anonymity,
like,
of
there's,
the internet.
There's a way to be respectful, but tell someone that you didn't like something.
Well, and constructive criticism, right? You know what I mean? Like, you can't just be like, Halo's dead, 343 killed it, it's stupid, I hate it. right? Like, that's like, how, what are you adding to the conversation there? Nothing, right? Yeah. You're just another voice that wants to be heard.
It's like, so what does your, how is your comment helping, basically? And it doesn't. Exactly.
And it's just because, and like, I mean, and that's just, the problem is that, you know, when it's always negative stuff just travels on, especially on the internet, so much faster than the positive. You know what I mean? Like, there's a reason that B. Dobbins for the win is like, you know, a big YouTuber with, because he's not, you know, like, absolutely, he does have some valid points. I'll admit that I've watched some of his videos, and I'll admit that he has some valid points, but he just coats everything he does in a sheen of pure hatred. And that fuels people to share his stuff, because anger is like one of the most powerful emotions. And it's just, when you get angry about something, or you watch a YouTube video that riles you up and gets you super pissed off, you want to share that way more than if you watch something like, you know, you're like, oh, that was a cute dog video, I'm gonna go look at Facebook now, right? But if it's like, you know, like, if it's beat, it's like, oh, Halo's dead, I'm never pre-ordering it, everything sucks, I'm gonna murder a bunch of babies or whatever, you know what I mean? And like, the fact is that, like, even psychologically, I've CGP Grey does a really good video on this about like, it's called "This Video Will Make You Angry," about how like the virality of like, you know, totemic ideas that are like not even true, but they just like push all of the right buttons in the internet hive mind, and so it just gets shared around like crazy.
Right, but it's kind of the responsibility of us being the community to really, like, I think, be accountable for that and really do something about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, It's tough. I mean, like, I've never been, you know, one for, like, when I make videos or anything like that, I always try to be as constructive as I can or anything like that. And I try to act, and like, I have no illusions about my role, but I try to act as with as much journalistic integrity as I can, right, in terms of just like, you know, I want to have sources. Like, we just had a conversation on RUL about leaked, you know, Halo information and spoilers and stuff like that. And, you know, we don't do leaked stuff just because, you know, it's, first of all, it's hard to verify. You never know when you can go down the wrong path and stuff like that. And also just because it's just not, you know, absolutely, you know, when a leak about human rights violations in Syria comes out, that's news and that should be covered. But Halo 2 is an art piece, you know what I mean? And it's meant to be experienced in a very specific way. And regardless of how you feel about the business of video games, at the end of the day, it is a subjective piece of art. And by sharing that leaked content, some people, including myself personally, can feel ripped off or cheated out of some of that experience. Like, I don't want to see shaky potato friggin', you know, camera footage from in a hidden event or a movie screen or whatever it is. I want to see it in 1080p in 60 frames per second in like glorious full sound so that I can actually experience it, because Halo is a gorgeous, beautiful game, and I don't want to cheapen that experience, especially because I'm going to be spending like $600 on consoles and controllers come October.
Yeah. Or $1,000, depending, like, on how much you buy.
I want every sweet piece of that, and that's why I don't personally and like leaked content.
Right, but it's hard to really nail down where in the community stuff should really be taken care of better. But I think it's something that we just need to pull together and actually, like, care.
The biggest thing I think that.
Like, not
well, the biggest thing that I think that we can do. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, the biggest thing that, I mean, I think that we can do is that, like, it's just going to be lead by example, right? Like, I mean, you're never going to find me on Twitter or Facebook or anywhere else, like, attacking or tearing down somebody else's, like, Halo content or channel or anything like that, unless, like, obviously, if someone's, you know, lying or doing something like super, super scummy or anything like that. On the contrary, like, if someone, you know, emails through Ready Up Live and is like, hey, can I use, you know, like, I've got a small channel of like 50 subscribers, but I want to use some of your footage for my videos. I'm like, absolutely. Go ahead, make it. Like, we're Ready Up Live is in such a fortunate position to be as popular as we are. And we count that as a blessing every single time. Like, every time I look at that subscriber count, I'm like, I can't even believe that number is that high.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous, right? So everyone in the Halo community, I mean, we just need to support each other. And that's the biggest thing, is that, like, you know, you don't need to be passing judgment on other people's stuff. If you don't like what somebody else is doing, like I said, close the tab and move on. You don't need to get up on Twitter or Facebook or some public forum and talk about how, you know, this community or that community sucks.
Well, I take a look at whenever we go to PAX, whenever we do Wingdom, whenever we do Recovery Q. I mean, all those people that I'm around there, it's like we all love Halo. I mean, that's the reason why we're there. And it's one of those things that we genuinely care. And yeah, there's definitely certain parts of the game that we don't like, but we're all there because we love Halo and we support Halo. And I feel that I wish the rest of the Halo community could be as cool and chill as the group that we get to meet up with every single year at PAX.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Because, I mean, stuff like Wingdom, we had 60 people on a Wednesday night go to Wingdom. We had 80 people or so go to a barbecue at someone's house. And this guy was big in the community because he was first in line for like two or three Halo launches. And that's how he got big and popular. And now he works at Microsoft. And he's gracious enough to host us at his house. And it's just those kind of community feelings that I really wish the rest of the Halo community could just like take on and appreciate each other in that way. Because, I mean, the Halo community, when you think about it, it includes the developers. That community is both the fans of the game and those who make the game.
Well, because the game's been going on for so long now, so many people are like, they're growing up with the game, becoming developers, and then they're like, oh, of course I want to work on Halo. Of course I want to go work at 343. I mean, I love games because of this game. And I mean, I agree with you, Dustin. It's absolutely like every time that I go to PAX. And that's the thing is that even though there are members of our, you know, little chunk of the Halo community, our Halo family that like, you know, I don't have all the same ideals or agree with. Like, I mean, I always try to get under Goose Cheka's skin. I love Goose, but I always try to mess with her a little bit, you know, just push her buttons a little. But like, I mean, I think that she knows that that's out of mad love, right? And like, that's the thing is that like, I love that because as much as I love, you know, chatting with someone who I agree with, you know, like me and like obviously like me and Green Skull that was kind of how we formed our friendship is we agreed on a lot of the same stuff with Halo and we just had a lot of great conversations about it.
I thought it was because you creeped on him.
Oh yeah, also because of creeping. Yeah. I was just following him around the campus. No, but like I love when I can get like for instance like Eli. You know, like sometimes me and him, like we agree on a lot of stuff and sometimes we disagree, but Eli is so flippantly stupid smart. He like went to Yale and stuff or anything like that. But that's the thing is that like, I love those kind of things because, you know, I'll hold an opinion to be true or valid and then he'll come along and just like tear it down for like just pull the rug out from under me completely. And I'll be like, oh, I never thought of it that way. And just being open to being able to change your mind about Halo or to see things from a different perspective can be so powerful. And it's very difficult to do that over the internet. It's just almost impossible because everyone kind of gets entrenched in a certain way. But like, I totally agree. When we're at PAX and you're there and you're with everybody and like, it's, you know, regardless of if you're talking about campaign or multiplayer or whatever, like, sure, some people won't agree or will agree, but we always have like great spirited debates at PAX. Like, I mean, at the barbecue, like just in the backyard, there'll just be like rings of people just talking about Halo. And like, you better believe that not everybody's agreeing. We're not all just sitting around at PAX being like, yeah, Halo's great, huh? Yeah, I like Halo. Yeah, Halo's pretty good, huh? No, we're debating it and everything like that. And it's great. And that's what, like you said, I mean, I wish the whole online community could be like that, Dustin, because it's some of the best discussions that I have are always at PAX.
Yeah, it's a great place to be, really. If you want to go to any convention throughout the year, I would definitely say PAX is probably the one you must go to.
Hands down, number one.